Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Runcast. Glad you've joined us. This might be one of the peak running weeks of the entire year, the 52 weeks of the year. This is one of the peak ones. Why? We've got private school state championships Friday at Woodbury. We've got the public school cross-country championships at Great Meadows on Saturday. We've got the Richmond Marathon, Half Marathon AK, probably the biggest event that folks in our community participate in outside of Charlottesville.
Right.
We've got the fourth year 5K, one of the biggest UVA races of the year, the race to combat the absolute idiotic, I don't mind using the word, and I do mind using the word tradition, because I don't think it is the fourth year fifth has earned the term tradition, but it's to combat that. UVA has got their backs against the wall a little bit here this Saturday, particularly the men. It's the regional championships. They've got to do well there to move on to NCAA, something that we're very much rooting for and hoping is going to happen. So pretty amazing week. We've got the third week of the Charlottesville Track Club's 10-miler training program. That'll be this Saturday, 8 o'clock at Charlottesville High School. Go to charlottesvilletrackclub.org. We continue to encourage people to come out for that. We have six programs, six count 'em programs. You're not behind if you're a newer runner or someone coming off the couch. We've got a spot for you. We have 400 people, Mike, signed up for this program. It's amazing. We broke the record, and they're still pouring in. Had about 200 of them out there last Saturday. It was fantastic. A lot of folks that don't fit the stereotypical mode of a runner, those are the ones I particularly have a soft spot for and really get excited.
Right.
Think of being involved with someone's life in that they've made a choice to change things to better, physically, healthier. I love it. Kind of a quick recap of the week. Glenn Anderson, our marathon maniac, checked the box for 47. He's Manchester, New Hampshire, so New Hampshire's out of the way. It was one of the hilliest races he's run on in his journey, he said. Didn't break 4 hours, which for him is frustrating. That means in his second quest to say he broke 4 hours in every state, he's going to have to go back and redo New Hampshire on a flatter course. Sophie Spidell, speaking of marathons, the fastest ultramarathoner in Charlottesville, the female side. Sophie is a middle school counselor over at St. Anne's and helps coach the lacrosse team. Great event. Did the Mountain Masochus 54-miler down in Lynchburg. She was sixth overall, but more importantly, there's a Lynchburg Ultra Series, and there's a very prestigious award affiliated with if you win the series. She was 18 minutes down going into the race.
Wow.
So this is the last race of the series. 23-year-old gal was 18 minutes ahead of her. So when she got on the starting line, she knew she had to run 19 minutes faster than this young woman.
Huh.
And that's what she did. She ran her down about halfway through the race, ran by her, kept on going. Little help from her handler, Harry Landers, who was handling her for the first time, just giving her updates on things and, of course, helping her along the way. But really, good job, Sophie. Very impressive. New York City Marathon was last weekend. That's the isn't the granddaddy of them all, because not the oldest, but it's the biggest. So it's pole setter when it comes to size. 46,000 people got on the starting line. 60,000 were entered. Largest marathon in the world. Of course, you probably most folks by now saw the big results. The leader blew the world record away. It's been quite a year for setting good times in marathons. And I was asking Alec about it the other day. I said, Alec, what is going on here? Why are we seeing these huge leaps of time in these big marathons?
Right.
And he said, Dad, my guess is what's happening is these Kenyans and Ethiopians are hitting the marathon at a younger age. Used to be in the old days, they did everything they could do on the track, and they got into their late 20s, early 30s, and they started marathoning. And marathoning is very lucrative for anybody at that level, particularly these guys who win. So the guy who won the race picked up almost $500,000-$600,000 because he set the course record, set the world record, won the race, bonuses, incentives, all this stuff. So That's Alex's theory, and it sounds like a good one. He said, so these guys are running these races at 22 to 25 years old, maybe even a little younger, when they're really fresh and
sure,
they're training themselves at that level, and they're beating their predecessors, who, of course, the Africans have dominated the marathon in the world over the last decade. And so anyway, it was a good day. And at that end, but it was a good day for our Charlottesville folks. We had about 36 folks go up, and people did well. Kerry Hendricks and Teresa Coppola, James Kaiser, Alex Mahone, Kai Lindsay, Sarah Trundle, Paul Given, Hillary Miller, Tom Herrick, Christy Miller, Don Selby, just to name a few of the folks that did well. We did learn some lessons, as there are lessons to be learned all the time. A couple of folks went out really fast. And when I say really fast, they went out faster than the targeted pace.
Right.
Can't afford to do that early on, even if it's 1 or 2 seconds fast. But if it's 5, 10, 15, 20 seconds faster than your targeted pace, and you do that not for one, not for two, but for 3 and 4 and 5 miles. One fella, he went faster than his targeted pace for 19 miles. He didn't actually hit his marathon pace. And I mean slow down to his marathon pace until 19 miles. And he had one of the more horrific last 6 or 7 mile experiences I've ever seen anyone have in a marathon in regard to his pace falling apart. So, anybody listening, it sounds like a broken record, but it's science. This is not Mark Lorenzoni with some kind of wacky coaching regimen or some kind of, philosophy I have. You don't warm the engine up properly, you'll get punished. And you will somewhere along the way, whether it's like the woman who got nailed with a quarter mile to go. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And
right.
She was going to break 4 hours, and she was 3:55 with a quarter mile to go. And her scenario was not hydrating properly. But with these guys, here's a guy, 19 miles. He's thinking, wow, I'm fitter than what I thought I am.
Yeah, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus or anything like that. But did he give a reason for why he
I haven't talked to him yet. I just saw his splits, and I'll catch up with him this week. He's actually a guy, a coach, and I always kind of let people simmer down a little bit unless they call me.
Makes sense.
And I like for them, the athletes I'm always most proud of are the ones, even though they've made this mistake, will say, I can't believe, I don't know what I was thinking. Look at this. And I've told you that story, that woman that came in and said, you're going to be so pissed at me, Mark. I didn't run my time, and I know exactly why I didn't run my time. Quite often I'll get the blame as a coach, and I can handle that, but not for terribly long. When I, if I have done something wrong with the training, I'll totally own up to it. But if on race day you abandon the game plan, and most people that I coach and most people that go into a marathon, their goal is it's a pretty on the edge goal.
Right.
So when you're running the 10 miler, you didn't set yourself up to some soft goal and say, I want to run. For you, say, I want to run 10 and a half minute miles.
Right.
I mean, how edgy would that have been for you?
Not at all.
So you set your goal up, and the goal it should never be unrealistic, but it should be just right at the edge of your fitness and your training.
Right.
Not over the edge. So for the second phase of that understanding then, that relationship with that goal, is that you then have to be paying attention, be reverent of the game plan. So if you're shooting for 10-minute pace in a marathon and you run the first X amount of miles at 9:40, I mean,
you're done.
I don't understand it. I mean, I understand what happens. You feel good.
Adrenaline
rush. Adrenaline. You have this feeling of euphoria. It's a drug. It is like a drug because it's making you do something that you shouldn't be
doing.
I think
also when there's people around you, It
just feels that much easier.
It's different when you're solo.
I totally understand it. People, they'll get defensive with me. They'll try and explain. I said, No, I understand it. That's why before you went into the race, I told you this is going to happen.
Right.
And to ignore it, to do your best to just ignore it and run at the pace. So, but it will get you regardless. So anybody, Richmond half or full, that's listening, be patient. It is a study in patience. Run those first few miles slower than your targeted pace, whether in the half marathon it's 2 or 3 or 4, in the marathon it's 3, 4, 5, or 6, before you settle in. So anyway, all the best to, congrats to the New York folks. Even the folks that made mistakes that gutted it out at the end, my hat's off to you for doing that. I just remind the Richmond folks this week to pay attention out there. It's going to be cool. So make sure you're dressed properly. So we're going to be in the low 30s at the gun. Have some sweats on that you can peel off.
Right.
It's going to get up to around high 50s, low 60s. It's just about perfect. So just that would be my two big bits of advice, is to don't shiver your race away in the starting area, and don't run your race into the ground by going out too quickly. And Richmond's sneaky. The marathon, about 5 miles of, first 5 miles, excuse me, are gentle, gradual uphill. So you don't feel it, and you could lie down on the road and not really, you know, peer at it and look and say, is that really uphill? But it's subtle.
You
and if, because I, if you're trying to go faster during that time, you get nailed. We've got the private school championships this Friday evening, or Friday afternoon, excuse me, out at Woodbury. It's a tradition. They host it out there. Miller School boys are looking to take the small school championship. They've got a good shot at it. We got the St. Anne's girls have moved into the big school league this year, so they're going to have their hands full with that. But their top runner, Maddie Hunter, won the prep league championship last week, which is like a little preview for the big meet, the private league, private school state championship meet. And she ran away from the field, Mike. Here she is, this eighth grader, and she was, I think, 19:20, and then second place was 20:10, or 50 seconds back. Wow. And they were really some pretty good girls she's running against. So we'll see what happens this week. She looks like she's enjoying the heck out of it, and it'd be really neat to have her do well there. And we've got all of our area private schools are going to be there. The Woodburys, of course, and Fumas and Miller and Blue Ridge and Tandem and Covenant. So I'm sure I'm leaving someone off. We wish all of them the best. I'm going to try and get out there and watch them. And then Saturday morning is the public school state championships up at Great Meadows. That's outside Warrenton. It's a steeplechase horse racing course, very similar to Foxfield. And the Almar boys have got a chance to make history, to win a state championship. It's never happened in the history of the school. Boys or girls team, Buzz Males gang ready to go. We hope number 5, whoever that may be, can really pull it together. You are the key if you're listening. Hopefully you're not. I don't want to make you too nervous, but it is a weird thing. I was telling Alec the other day that, you know, what do you say to these guys? And he goes, Dad, you know, at this point, they know, they get it. They understand. They know, they feel the pressure. They know what they have to do. So saying something too much to them is going to flip it over, get them so worked up, because all eyes are on number 5. They really are. The two boys that at regionals, the two Almar boys were 1-2, as we talked about, Visokay and Thomas. Yeah. So it can't get much better than that. It'd be the top two guys, so the pressure goes to 3, 4, and 5. And then on the AA side, Lindy Bain, he's back again. They are the pre-race favorites. Blacksburg should give them a good go, but Lindy's squad at Western Elmore, they've got a chance of winning the AA. So wouldn't that be neat? Double A state champion and a Triple A state champion. And then we got a variety of individuals who made it out of the region, including Madeline Hermsmeyer from Monticello, Nikki Duma from Fluvanna, Annie Taylor, the freshman from Western. So you got a variety of individuals that made it out, but the two teams to be looking for, the only two teams to make it out, were the Almar boys and the Western boys. The Western girls finished out the season strong. It was neat to see. They came back, gave their new rival, which I'm loving seeing this rivalry. It's healthy and it's fun. It's within the district. They outlegged Fluvanna, so they got them back for that district win. And, oh, Mike, they were so close. They were like 7 points out from fourth place. Wow. They finished sixth as a team. Now talk about everybody counting. 7 points separated them from going to the state meet and from their season being over. And two places in the standings. That's amazing. 7 points.
Yeah.
So that means only two girls or three girls would have had to finish one or two places ahead of where they were.
That's right.
And that would have done it. So Monticello boys, congrats to Doug Bloor. They same deal. They were like 10 or 12 points out of fourth place, out of going to the big dance, really close. But I think those boys really ran. They had their best race of the season at the right time, so they should be holding their heads up high. So of course, we talked about Richmond. We got the marathon, the half marathon, and the 8K. We have 250 folks going down this Saturday. 250, and they're all over the map.
That's
ability-wise,
great.
We got people, a couple of folks that have shots are doing really well in the half marathon, the marathon. We got, I think Donnie Coward is back from Pan Am Games. I know he's back from Pan Am Games, and I'm was told the other day, one of our RMR kids, that he's going to be running the AK. He was fifth last year. These are big money races, big incentive races. I know Richmond used to give a car to the winner. The AK, I think it goes several thousand down to $100 through the top group. And a lot of Africans there, the Kenyans and Ethiopians will be there. Very cool international feel to it. So, and then all the locals that train through the Schultz Track Club program, cool. We have 75 of them. My eyes will be on them more than just about anybody else. Wishing them all the best.
Not to put you on the spot here, but do you know how many people participate on, I mean, every year, I'm sure it fluctuates a little bit, but in the Richmond,
Local
or just total?
Oh no, it's big. I think there's like 20 or 25,000 total in all three races.
Right.
The marathon has the smallest, interestingly enough.
Oh, really?
Has about 4,000 or 5,000, and then half, I think, has got maybe 7 or 8 or 9, and I think it's the same deal with the AK.
Yeah.
It's a big deal event for them down there. Isn't it? I like it because the course is fair. The weather's usually pretty good. It's close. It throws the least amount of hurdles, potholes, in front of a marathon of any event I can think of other than them, you know, doing our local events here. All the best to Julie Stackhouse and Jason Vigilante, to the UVA squads at regionals, as I say, very important, particularly the guys. Their resume is not super deep going into regionals. They don't have any kind of signature wins or signature meets where they beat a bunch of ranked teams. So they have just got to do well here. And I think they can. They've got good personnel and good coaching, so they should be able to do it. Dan Bayless, I call out to him, a good buddy of mine. He's the team and training coach here over the years, and he ran the Dublin Marathon last week, 14,000 people. And Dan said it was drizzly and cold. He said it was perfect, exactly what he would have envisioned for Dublin. Beautiful course and great hospitality. He was very impressed with the whole event. It was very exciting to go over there. A quick call out, Birkenstock is making a big comeback. Now, what does that have to do with running? It's a shoe we started carrying recently, and I don't do very many shameless kind of ads, but the Birkenstock's been getting some play internationally for actually making some stylish shoes now, and here's this therapeutic shoe for years and years and years, worn by physicians and nurses and professionals for your back and for your arch. They're really, really solid shoes, and now they're making them stylish. So there was an article in one of my magazines the other day about fashion trends around the world, and they said Birkenstock used to be saved for the granola, crunchy granola crowd, the hippies, and now you go to the opera and you go to Gwyneth Paltrow's wearing them and Angelina Jolie, and so it was kind of cool that I was telling the staff the other day, you guys are in. We have something that's in. Trivia question for the week. I haven't done one in a while, but with all the marathon stuff, fall marathon stuff, been for Cynthia and I recently just reminiscing about her two Marine Corps wins, and she always says, oh God, the only reminiscence she has is how long ago that was and how incredibly slow she is now compared to them. But Cynthia won Marine Corps twice, but there's another Charlottesville resident who won that race in the women's division. She did it actually the year that Oprah Winfrey ran. So who was that person? The person pretty near and dear to our life, Cynthia and I, but who was that? We've had some great marathoners in this town over the years, but you know, sub 240 in a debut marathon, pretty doggone impressive.
Yes.
So I think that's about it. I mean, the 10-mile training program, like we say, continues. The weather is beautiful. Get outside and as much as you can these days. And I would encourage you, particularly in the evening now with the time change, to stay visible. A little mini flashlight, a headlamp, some reflective gear. Really helps to make your run that much more relaxing and the people around you feel that much safer and relaxed. All right, everyone, have a great running week and stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.